Call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall and placed in the Star Gazette stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have a roll call, please?
Joel?
Here.
Suarez?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Quinn?
Here. First up, we have our correspondence. Before we go there also, I'd just like to let everybody know I have a letter from Assemblyman DeMayo thanking us for our opinion on Assembly Bill 3285, which would require certain public contract bid advertisements to contain certified cost estimates. He further states he is not inclined to support the measure as is presented to him.
Make a motion to receive and file the correspondence.
Second.
Okay, sir. Any discussion?
Well, yeah, real quick on item number two. But
yes, sir.
You want to do that now before we approve it?
Sure.
Okay. I had already talked to the manager about this. Everybody knows we got a letter to take that damn dam down. The Pleasant Valley Dam.
Stuttering, huh?
Yeah. to take that down. So the next step is that we need to meet with the sewer committee, needs to meet with the engineer. Just to give everybody a little background, the engineer gave us a three-part proposal when they applied for, when they sent this letter, they're requesting whether or not we could dismantle it or whether we have to maintain it. We approved two portions of it. I think the total cost was somewhere between $23,000 and $26,000. You remember that, Patrick?
Yes, sir.
And I think we approved, what, 12? Somewhere in that neighborhood. We approved the first two phases. So we're going to have to get back together with him to go over what it is that he's going to need, how much it's going to cost for him to continue with, you know, the reports, the permit requests, the whole nine yards before we can move forward with anything else.
Okay. Anything else on that, sir?
No.
Okay. With the call for nominations for the 10th Annual Innovation and Governance Award, I spoke with the manager about this last week, I believe it was. I thought there were two things that the Borough of Washington has done that maybe we could submit, one being the consolidation of our municipal court for the cost savings through public safety judicial services, and perhaps even the library joining with the school.
Yeah.
For the director is one for the multi-agency collaboration. So I think let's approve these, and then if people would like to go forward with submitting those, we'll have a motion for that afterwards. Sir?
Just how many years are we talking about over a span of what time these innovative costs have to be savings have to be done? For like 5-year span? Or
it really doesn't say, and that's okay. Probably that we would have to research that.
Okay.
Before we go through and go that route.
Even the police takeover, I guess I would call it, murder so much, but that would probably fall into that category too?
It probably could. Okay. That's probably something we should have done 2 years ago, I would think.
Okay.
So we have a motion to receive and file the correspondence.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? I would accept the motion to submit the two things I mentioned for the Innovative Cost Savings Awards.
No, I think that's a good idea, especially the library.
Okay.
And I don't know which one says more, though.
We can submit them both because
yeah.
They are two separate categories. So are you making that motion?
Sure, I'll make that motion. Absolutely.
Second that. Okay. Any other discussion?
Are we going to consider the input from Councilman Jewell on the police, or is that too far long ago?
We can inquire about that. I mean, these two, I think, would be eligible for it. But as we go forward, we can inquire about that, and if that's feasible, I think we have some time before we have to. Nomination deadline is October 3rd, so we can have some time if that falls into the category. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? At this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion of the meeting for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests. seeing none.
Make a motion to close the audience portion.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Ordinances. Ordinance 5, 2011. Anyone like to move that on introduction?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Jewell?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Juarez?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Doyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
An ordinance permitting certain wind and solar energy systems and establishing standards.
Okay, do we have any discussion on this? And then we need a motion to approve on first reading. Motion to approve on first reading, then?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor? I'm sorry, roll call, please.
Jewell?
Yes.
Juarez?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Doyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Public hearing of ordinance 5, 2011 will be August 16, 2011, and advertisement of the public hearing will start today on July 28, 2011.
Someone move that publication date, please?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? On to our, on to our reports.
Make a motion to receive and file the reports.
Second. Okay, any discussion on any of the reports? Mr. Higgins.
On the manager's report of the 8th of July, the number one paragraph up there is, you know, the subcommittee
survey.
Manager made a recommendation that we take that down off the website since it's February 23rd and we haven't had any respondents. I'll make that motion after we receive and file.
Okay.
Also, I spoke with the manager about item number 3, the municipal court report, and item number 6, the tax collector's current fund. There's a discrepancy that the manager said he was going to check into of the year-to-date numbers. The municipal court number says $21,000. The treasurer's report says we received $43,000. So he's going to check on that.
Anything else?
I also talked to the manager about the tax collector sewer fund report and the current fund report about the percentages. Rich, if you could explain to everybody, I saw the percentages and got concerned about, you know, we're at 80% or 83% collection on the sewer billing and things like that. If you could explain.
What you see before you, excuse me, is the year-to-date percentage of collection for the sewer as well as general property taxes. The numbers seem unusually low. What you need to understand is when we give out these numbers throughout the year, it's not based on a 12-month period. It's based on where we anticipated we would be as of, say, July 1st. Like, as an example, collection of sewer, second quarter, 83.67%. Got to remember, we bill out quarterly. So the next quarter associated with the sewer billing hasn't kicked in yet, so it seems unusually low. If we pull the numbers from last year, I guarantee you we're plus or minus 1% off from what these numbers are. That's just the normal collection process in municipal government. So don't be alarmed if the numbers appear low. The only way to truly get the accurate numbers at the end of the current year.
Is that for both?
That's correct. The same applies to both.
So you're saying they'll catch up eventually and it'll show?
It's hard because you got to remember, we're in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. So we're at 83% of where we should be. Sometimes people pay full in the beginning of the year. Other people, pay the month after and pay the delinquent. Right. So it fluctuates so much, it's very difficult to give you an accurate number until the end of the current year.
Okay.
Well, I have some other stuff here, too. The issues and detailed report. Everything on here except the one item has been closed out. And we're filling a lot of trees for this report. I don't know if we need this report anymore.
What report is that?
The issues and detail reports, you know, the ones where there's a pothole here, go fix it. It's been fixed. I don't think that we need to know what potholes have been fixed. Me personally.
Would you rather see this maybe as an accounting type of thing, where you filled in three potholes, fixed two street signs, that kind of thing?
Well, that is taken care of in the monthly report from the DPW anyway. The only thing that I ask is that if there's something serious, you know, we develop a sinkhole on Bellevue Avenue, that we know about that. Otherwise, you know, if brush needs to be picked up in front of somebody's house, I don't really think we need to know that, because most of the time it's written down and it's taken care of. The only thing that's on there, I believe, is the that hasn't been closed out is the barricades for the soapbox derby. And of course, they were there, they're gone. I think this is still the package. That's my personal opinion. Also, I talked to the manager, and I'm going to make a motion that we're going to add that.
Okay.
I talked to the manager about the engineer's report, pretty comprehensive report, but it cost us money to have that report. And I think we need to be paying money for a report.
Council asked for that report, did they not, or am I mistaken on that?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Just want to make a point. It is good to keep us informed, though, even if we decide not to have money spent to get an engineer's report done by the engineer. If Rich, you could just fill in the council in your manager's report, that would be, you know, substantial.
A lot of the items,
sure,
in,
for everybody.
A lot of the items in there are things that he deals with directly that I don't.
Yeah, but then he could give the report to you. A verbal report or whatever,
but
and you could give
still
it to us.
There's fee associated. He's a contract
right.
employee.
Paid when he does this kind
whenever
of
he does anything
contract
for us,
work.
There's a fee
but
associated.
I think Councilman Higgins is talking about the production of the monthly report, having him actually do specific work just to tell us about it. Am I
well,
correct?
See, like, there's some things on there that are dealing with the sewer plant. When the sewer subcommittee meets with him, we get charged for that too. So it would be my responsibility to bring back the report to the council as to what we're dealing with. So he doesn't have to, and that'll save us hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah, Councilman brings up a good point, because the first four line items on here we've already reported on.
Right.
So he it's a valid point.
So I would make that motion to this.
Okay, any other discussion, Mr. Higgins?
No, I'm good.
Okay, anything else?
You did good.
Thanks, bud.
Okay, for receiving and filing the correspondence. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Now, I count three motions that you're going to make now?
Yes.
Okay, start them off.
I'll make a motion to remove the survey from the website.
Yes.
You want them all at one time?
No, let's do them all. Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Number two.
I make a motion that we cease receipt of the issues and details report.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one?
Is any of that required for public record or anything of that nature?
No, we do it to keep track of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it is public record.
No, I know, but I mean, there's not, I mean, if somebody calls into the borough and says, I have this problem, would it be for them to see that it actually got to our, to a public meeting?
No, no, there's not. We at some point, and this started well prior to me,
right.
Someone requested this report be generated
okay.
and presented to council. And that's why it's been traditionally provided.
Okay. Nope,
there,
no problem.
There is still going to be a record, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
we keep a record this way. If it's a recurring incident, we can pull up the
I'm sure you do. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Number three.
And I make a motion that we no longer require a monthly report from the engineer.
Second.
Is there any discussion on that? Would you prefer a quarterly report, or you just want no report whatsoever?
What did you charge us for that report, sir?
I'd have to go back and check the definitive numbers, but I believe it was about $250.
No.
Okay. Just thought I'd suggest. See
well,
what
listen,
happened.
If we have a question, we can ask the manager. The manager can give him a phone call.
Okay.
He doesn't need to charge us $250.
No. But he might charge us for the time on the phone.
But it's not going to be $250.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay. Hey, trust me, I'll be checking the bill.
Any other discussion?
Can we just get the numbers, Rich, just so we can see what costs what as far as phone calls? And
sure.
So we have an idea.
Well, he doesn't charge for general questions. He charges if he has to actually compile data.
Yeah, if you can just get the numbers just so we have an idea. Thank you.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? That was it, correct, Mr. Higgins?
I believe so, Mr. Mayor.
Committee reports. And we'll move on to old business. Ordinance 3, 2011, the Recreation Commission Ordinance for final approval.
Draft. Final draft.
Draft.
I'm waiting for the experts on this one.
Okay. Well, there were just two minor changes that were made that I saw.
There were just minor changes.
Last time.
So is this what we want to go forward with?
Well,
I'm okay with it. You?
Yeah.
So
okay. Okay. We got the motion to go forward with this draft.
Well, wait a second here. I think on 8355.8.
What page are we on?
The last page.
Yeah, 8355.8. Item number E.
Okay.
Let's see here, where it says it's administer and expend departmental funds in accordance with the budget appropriations and financial procedures and established by the manager. I don't know if you need that at all. Take E out of there completely.
Why is that, Councilman?
Why is that? Because item B above says be responsible to the borough manager for the adherence of the annual capital, annual and capital budget. I mean, it's redundancy.
It is another redundancy. He's right.
I'm just...
Mr. Cushing, you have any comment on that?
I'm just reading that to take into account what the councilman said. I made a slight difference between the two.
Okay.
B, I believe, says, hey, you have to be responsible to a manager for adherence to annual budget, capital, personnel policies, and all financial and purchasing policies. In other words, what this is saying is that the recreation department and the director, or particularly the director, is responsible to the manager to make sure that the recreation department expenditures are consistent with the budget. Their personnel policies are consistent with the borough's personnel policies, and that all financial and purchasing policies are consistent with the borough's policies.
Okay. Right.
The one that you're talking about, Dave, which is E, right?
E.
Administer and expend department funds in accordance with the budget. That's an operational step where the director is responsible to be administering and paying out the funds. So I see it as two different categories. I don't see it as redundant, to be honest with you.
Okay, but actually the recreation director isn't responsible for paying the bills. It would be the commission.
Well, it says administer and expend the funds in accordance
expend
with the budget.
Yeah. The rec commission would approve the bills like we approve the bills. He just can't go out and spend the money.
And it says powers and duties to the director under headache, too.
Yeah.
Not the commission.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, he's administering the funds, okay? Maybe expend, you could argue about. But what this is saying is, look, it's his responsibility to make sure that the checks get to the commission, just like the manager here is responsible to you guys to get the bill list, to get funds, to make sure everything is in the proper form, to make sure the purchase orders are there and properly signed. I mean, that's what I would argue. Again, you know, I don't see it as redundant. I mean, that's up to you folks. You make the ultimate decision. But it seems to me it doesn't hurt to have that language in there. You could say, okay, expend, but it says administer and expend departmental funds in accordance with the budget appropriations and ordinances. So what I interpret that, again, I'm, you know, if there's better language and you want to have it, that's fine with me. But what this seems to be saying is the director is responsible, specific duty to administer and expend the department funds in accordance with the budget appropriations and ordinances. In other words, he's responsible to make sure that if there's...
Everything is in line.
Yeah, exactly.
You get your bids.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I see your point about expend. I mean, you're right. But it seems to me that that's language that's sort of suggesting fairly strongly that his responsibilities are to... make sure that the flow of the paperwork to the people who make the decisions is done in the correct format. That's the way I read it. If you read it differently, that's just an interpretation.
Okay, but then if you go back to, and this is why I brought it up, powers and duties 355.4 of the Recreation Commissioners on number 6,
okay,
that covers pretty much everything. The Board of Recreation Commissioners must abide by all policies and regulations, policies and regulations, including ordinances, as well as applicable state statutes. This includes, but not limited to, the Borough Purchasing Manual, Local Public Contracts Law, Local Finance Law, Civil Service Commission Regulations, whatever, Open Public Records Act, Government Records Council Regulations, Grant Applications. To me, that covers it all.
It covers it for the commissioners.
Yeah.
It's almost like you have to have a monitoring group and then a verification and then a validation, you know. There's checks and balances here. I think that was the reason we were very strongly supporting it being a commission, that all the policies and procedures would have are going to be followed as far as finances with the commissioners as well as the director.
I see. I'm sorry, let me interrupt. Is a hierarchical thing in the sense that the broad powers of running recreation operations are deposited with the commissions, just like the broad powers of running this municipality are in the hands of the governing body from a legislative standpoint. With the commission, this is specifying what the duties of the director are under the control and responsibility and the oversight of the Board of Commissions. So it seems to me that it fits. You know what I mean? You've got the general powers that the commissioners have overseeing the overall operation, and they're empowered to do that. And then the director is given specific responsibility from an administrative standpoint to handle the day-to-day operations that are necessary to get the necessary information to the commissioners, to get it in the proper form, to get the paperwork done correctly, and to, you know, fulfill the other responsibilities that he has. But, you know, that's the way I read it. Now, again, it's a legislative decision.
I'm comfortable with it as it is. Rest of you?
Everybody
else?
I'm good. Yeah.
Would
us.
I don't know.
Well, I like it because it actually explains things. It makes things very explicit. So there actually is no question as to exactly what the powers and duties are.
If there's an issue, it can be amended later on.
That's correct. Sure. Yeah, if we got some operational problems, that's not uncommon.
That's true.
Mr. Torres, you?
The only difference really is the word expend. You know, that's really the big key difference between the two.
He's got to follow the direction of the commissioner. If they tell him to go out and get a paintbrush,
it is kind of redundant, but
he's got to go out and get a paintbrush.
It maybe could be a little clearer. I don't know how. You'd have to think about it, but it is just a little vague like that. It's not that clear. No. That's my only comment on it.
So if we're happy with this, then I would accept a motion to have this drafted and on the agenda for introduction at our next meeting. Can you identify that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that a motion?
All right, so moved, yes.
Second.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, on to our resolutions. Let's do 123 and 124 together.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on either of these? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Higgins.
Yes.
Joel.
Yes.
Torres.
Yes.
McDonald.
Yes.
Valentine.
Yes.
Foyle.
Yes. Okay, resolution 125, 2011, petition to the County of Warren to overtake several borough roads.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this one? Mr. Boyle.
Dick Cushing, this came out from your office?
Yes, sir.
The one, two, three, the fourth whereas about the minimum speed limit?
Oh, that was from Andrew.
Did you have that?
Yeah.
Okay. How significant is that miles per hour as far as complying?
Well, I mean, there is a slight difference there, but it seems to me that would you folks be happy if the speed limit was raised to 35 on those streets, say, to make it consistent?
I would be, but the problem is I see it. There's a couple of municipalities in this county that currently have county roads that their speed limit is 25.
Yeah.
I can name one right off the top of my head.
Yeah, and actually,
Hackettstown.
Well,
on Belvedere Avenue, it's bad. You know, there's a lot of school crossings. It's not a good place to have 35 on an hour. Yeah,
really,
I mean, it's really not a good place.
Unless they make some kind of improvements to...
To answer specifically your question, Pat, your question is, I think, is this going to kill this? Because there's a slight variation between the speed limit as it currently exists and the parameters the county sets for acceptance of county roads.
Right.
I think the answer is no, but I can't point to a specific legal set of circumstances that would justify that. I think you fit closely enough within the parameters, and I think you've made enough equitable arguments that are contained in this document that, taking into account what Councilman Torres says and what other people are saying, which is, hey, this is a built-up area, and county roads, it's not uncommon for a county road in a section to go through an area that's more urbanized, more developed, shall
sure.
I say, than out in Alamuchi or someplace out in Hope or someplace. That it would not be uncommon for that to happen, and I'm sure if I went to Essex County and I went to county roads that are going through West Orange or Newark or whatever, I'm sure you'd find plenty of places that are 25 miles an hour that reflect the actual circumstances that the road is in a particular section of the road. So I think it's ultimately a political decision by the county. In other words, I think they can make that call.
That's the one word you didn't want to hear, huh?
Well, when I say political, I don't mean that in a partisan way.
No, I understand.
Yeah, I'm not meaning, it's one party or the other anyway. It just means that they have to
there's
make
only one.
Huh? It's a financial, it's more of a financial decision, I suppose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I would think the smart thing to do is for some council members to go up to the county the night that's there and sort of
absolutely.
The equities
absolutely.
Of this particular request. So I can't honestly say that, it's a departure, let's say, from their standards, but the answer is it seems to me to be not an unreasonable departure.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Roll call? Let me do this by voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution 126, 2011?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on this one? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Sewell?
Yes. And 127, 2011.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one? Roll call on that one, please.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Sewell?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes. Vouchers.
Make a motion to repay the vouchers.
Second.
Okay.
Okay, any discussion on any of the vouchers? Mr. Higgins? Isn't that what you...
Well, I found something.
Okay.
Which one's on the main?
It's on page three. It looks like we're being double billed for the cat. On the same date, 6/12/11, cat white with tabby, cat white with tabby. See that? Item 7 and 8.
I can go downstairs and check, but...
Okay, if we can.
They're different. There might have been multiple cats that day. Without having the bill that's in front of me.
Or could have got loose again.
Catch and release.
Yeah.
Cats are not required to be licensed, are they?
Cats?
Yes, they are.
They don't have to be leashed.
Can't figure that out.
Okay, so if...
Did you ever try and leash a cat?
Yeah.
So if we can find out who these cats belong to,
can
we seek reimbursement for their jail stay?
I don't know.
These were cats that were picked up?
Yes.
And then placed in a shelter?
Yes.
Keep in mind, if they have a tag on them, the owners are contacted. Typically, ones that are picked up and brought to the shelters don't always have tags.
I know I had a dog that spent the night in jail, but I went and I paid.
Well, the thing is, a dog isn't supposed to be leashed.
It's supposed to be leashed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A cat isn't supposed to be leashed.
Mm-hmm. So why are we picking them up then?
I'm not sure why they're picking up. That's a good question.
If I have to look.
Maybe they were vagrant. Maybe they were out. Who knows? Doing what cats do.
Who makes the call then? Like, is it a resident call?
The animal control office.
Oh, they spot the animal.
Well, no, they may go on a response to a call. They may proactively see it depending on what the particular animal.
So it really originates from a resident first?
Most of them, yes.
But
most of them originate
from... What was the cat doing that caused it to be arrested?
I mean, if the cat doesn't have a tag on it,
that's
the
point.
Dogs, they get arrested because they don't have their leash. You know, cats don't have to have the leash.
If a cat doesn't have his registration tag on it, it can be picked up. If there is no registration on it, it gets picked up as a stray. So there are different circumstances in which a cat could be picked up.
Okay. So all these are strays then, Rich?
I'd have to check. I mean, it's quite possible that if there was a random cat walking down the street with a tag, the animal control officer could have picked up the cat, tried to make contact with the owner, maybe they didn't make contact and then had to impound.
But why would you pick up a random cat walking down? Cats walk down the street all the time, right?
Not if there's a complaint.
Oh, well,
you know, I mean, I don't know.
Right.
We get a lot of complaints.
Yeah, it's a big chunk of change, though.
It's stray cats. You know
cat.
I mean?
Well, if they have a problem,
but they might not have a tag, so you don't know who it is. Sometimes you get a collar with a tag, sometimes you get no tag. Sometimes they're properly registered, but with no ID, number tag on them, so... There's different situations in which case the animal control officer would pick up an animal.
You bring in the animal control officer and ask her.
I mean,
she's great.
Give her a call and ask her.
She'd probably help you explain that. And then I'm not sure what your. I have to take a look at the ordinance and see what the ordinance says.
I don't know
the consequences of not having the proper tags on your cat.
She can fine them, and she does send them to court.
Yeah. Right.
She does send them to court if there's an issue.
The question is, does the ordinance provide, I don't remember, whether the ordinance provides for
reimbursement
for the overnight stay. So why don't you bring in the animal control officer? Well, an idea, I don't know.
I just thought
it's possible.
Such a discussion about the cats.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
No.
Anyone else?
Yes.
Mr. Torres?
Let's see. I'm on page 6. Okay, we're talking about the electricity usage. And I noticed it's just peculiar how the library spends so much money on electricity. I mean, it's almost the same as all the traffic lights. I mean, so it seems to be a high number. You know, over 1,000. I happen to notice, I live on Carlton Avenue, so I happen to notice that they leave on a set of lights all night long throughout the center of the library. I thought it was originally some sort of special emergency, like lighting or something, but...
That $1,000 is not for 1 month. That's a multiple month bill.
517 to 713, I think.
You're talking $1,001, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
No, that's multiple months.
It is.
That's not one bill.
Okay, what is like one bill for them?
Usually it's between $250 and $300 a month.
Yeah, it should, that's what I mean, it should be somewhere, you know.
Yeah, no, that's multiple months.
But, however, I don't know if maybe, Rich, you can mention something to the, I know this is maybe not, you know, under our umbrella right now, exactly, the library, but we are still responsible for electricity, so maybe you could say something.
They're responsible for electricity.
Okay, well, somebody should mention that the lights are on all night.
Well, they leave the lights on in the parking lot all night at this turn.
All right, and I'm not talking about in the parking lot, I'm talking about inside the library.
No, some of them they leave on as it's turned inside the library.
Yeah, inside the library too, you know, that gives us, the police decide that they're going to walk by and look through the windows, they can see shadows or things like that or some kind of emotion. So that's what it is.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, there are motion detectors in there, but it's also, it gives them a little bit more. Such as, just recently, a child decided he was going to spend the night in the library, and he hid in the book racks. Until after everybody went home, and they were 5 minutes down the road, he came out, the motion detectors went off. And they had to come back and get him. He just decided, this was like 6 or 7 years old, so he wanted to spend the night in the library. That was that. And he thought it was a cool thing to do.
Good thing for the motion detectors.
Yeah.
But, you know, my point was for the electricity, and I just thought that, you know.
A lot of it's security things.
The library from the light.
That's all I have.
Okay. Anything else? Roll call, please.
Yes, on everything with the exception, I'll abstain on anything having to do with it.
Well?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Sewell?
Yes, everything except the squad and the fire department, please.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Okay, I had previously asked our attorney, Mr. Cushing, to give us a little talk on the powers and duties of members of council in this form of government. So at this point, I will turn it over to him for his discussion.
Maybe I have to best down there.
Certainly.
You just like the podium.
I do.
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Counselor, did we copy these here?
No.
Copy them.
Throw a couple free lunches in there, we'll call it even.
What I did,
what the,
that was Councilman Jewell that said
that. That would be wrong, we all know.
Yes.
What the mayor had asked is to have a little discussion on the council manager form of government. And periodically we have this discussion because of the unique nature of this particular form of government as compared to other forms of government. And by way of history, traditionally there are a number of different forms of government that had existed in New Jersey. There's the town form of government, there's a borough form of government, now known as the old form borough. There is a township form of government, there's a commission form of government, there's a village form of government. These are all old forms that had evolved over the years as our state developed as an independent state under our Constitution. And in the, I think it was the late 50s, there was a good government effort being made in New Jersey. And the idea was to try to improve the forms of government and develop more modern forms of government that would be available. And so they created the Faulkner Act, and the Faulkner Act actually created a number of different forms, modern forms of government. And the thought was originally all municipalities would embrace these particular forms, and this would take government and move it forward and solve all the problems of government. The particular form of government that was developed for the borough, and there was a study done as to the type of government. There was a lot of input that was taken from citizens in the town with respect to this. And ultimately, the borough manager form of government, which is one of the different forms under the Faulkner Act, there is a strong mayor form of government, and there's some other forms of township forms of government under the Faulkner Act. But the mayor council form was created, and the mayor council form envisions a very strong, powerful, independent, non-elected chief executive officer of the township, together with an elected council that serves as the legislative body. And the theory of the Faulkner Act was to separate legislative actions from administrative actions. And the thought process at that time was that that would be very helpful, and it would have more efficient government, because you wouldn't have confusion between council members who were serving in an administrative capacity and council members who were serving in a legislative capacity. And at that time, and it's still not uncommon, if you go to certain forms of government, you'll have a commissioner who's in charge of, the, say, the police department. And depending on the form of government, depending on their tradition, that commissioner may completely run the police department, sometimes to the exclusion of other council members. You know, some municipalities we deal with, those particular council members are very cautious and secretive almost about maintaining their element of power within the municipality. That was not what the Faulkner Act was aimed at doing. The Faulkner Act, in particular, under the council manager form of government, was created, again, to have this separation, to have a form of professional management similar to the type of situation that would exist in a private corporation, where you have a chief executive officer, chief operating officer, and then you have the board, the board that actually oversees that, makes policy, but doesn't get into the actual day-to-day operations of the corporation. So what I'd like you to do, and what I tried to do, is just pick out a few little sections of this. And what I did is I gave you two things. I gave you just a few sections of Title 40. You'll see that what I gave you is the optional municipal charters law. That's the technical name for the Faulkner Act. I just gave you the face page of that. And then I gave you some sections of the statute. And then the second thing I gave you was a book that we use in our office called New Jersey Practice Series. And this is a subpart of that called Local Government Law, written by a guy now dead, Mike Panay, who was a true and a highly regarded expert with respect to municipal law, the theories of municipal law, the practice of municipal law, the elements of it. And I think if you start to jump to that section that begins with this New Jersey practice series, it's, I only put a couple of pages in there, and I just selected some basic parts of it. But what I did is if you look at, it's 517, and I thought this was interesting because it does kind of highlight what the philosophy of the Faulkner Act was. About halfway down it says, typically, the council manager plan works best in suburban homogeneous communities where there is a reasonable consensus as to policy issues and therefore steady guidance on the part of the governing body in the formulation of policies which the manager and the professional staff then proceed to implement. So again, you see that its policy issues are dealt with by the council. Execution of those policy issues are dealt with by the manager. And they go on to point out the manager is different from a business administrator under the council manager form in that the manager is a much stronger role with direct powers of hiring and firing and substantial outside presence as the chief executive of the municipality. So again, what the gist of the Faulkner Act is emphasizing here is that the manager is the chief executive of the municipality. He's in charge of day-to-day operations. The second thing that I'd like you to take a look at, and we've talked about this a number of times as in various times, is under the section which is municipal statutes annotated. That begins in the second page, and if you skip about three or four pages forward to the one that's at the top of it, it says 4069A 94, it's page 553, but the section that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about was the powers of the manager. They are delineated in a somewhat similar manner to to,
I don't think I have a.
Page 553.
You got it? I did the copy myself, so it's very conceivable that you didn't get the copy. That would, copying is not my specialty.
I didn't see the copy, Peter.
Yeah.
549?
But.
553.
And actually, there's a lot of similarity between what you were doing when you're creating the Recreation Commission and what the structure of the borough is. And again, it repeats, the municipal manager shall be the chief executive and administrative officer in the municipality, and then goes through what he's supposed to do, executes laws and ordinances, approve and appoint a deputy, negotiate contracts, but you approve the contracts. In other words, he doesn't have authority to actually sign contracts. See that all terms and conditions imposed in favor of the municipality is, under any franchise or contract are faithfully kept and performed. Attend meetings, but without the right to vote, with right, though, to take part in all discussions. Recommend to the municipal council for adoption such measures as he may deem necessary and expedient. Keep the council advised of the financial condition of the municipality. Make reports to the council as requested by it, and then at least once a year provide an annual report for the benefit of the council and the public. Investigate at any time the affairs of any officer or department of the municipality, and then perform such other duties as may be required by the municipal, as may be required of the municipal manager by ordinance or resolution of the township council. And that, again, resolution is a very important operative word there, and I'll talk about that next, which is if you jump back, let me see if I, sorry to kind of hop around a little bit, but if you jump back to actually the second page under the section that's optional municipal charters, it'd be about the third page of your, one, two, three, about the third page of your package there.
431?
Five.
549.
549.
You guys are okay. This is the municipal council to act as a body. This is a couple of points in this section, which I think this is some of the most challenging aspects of being a good councilman are presented in this particular section of the statute. By that, I mean this. People are elected because they want to get stuff done. People are elected because they want change, they want improvement. That's why people run for office. People are running for office for good reasons. And that's why you want people to run for office, because that's how our government gets better, because people come in and they have better ideas. The problem is with the, particularly with this form of government, you can only act not as individuals. You have to act as a body. And that's, I think, really difficult, because everybody has their own ideas of what's right. Everybody has their own ideas, and they feel they got elected in order to be able to carry out those ideas. They feel that they've got a mandate from the people, and that's true. But it's still, you must act within the context of this particular form of government. And that's, if you take a look at this particular statute, the very first sentence, I think, is really important. It says, "The intention of this article is that the municipal council shall act in all matters as a body," all right? Meaning that you really only have power, and I hesitate to say this since you appointed me, and I don't want to insult you, but individually, you have no power. As individuals, you don't really have a right to do anything. You can advocate. Well, that's probably wrong. You have no executive power. You can advocate, and that's your most important weapon. You can come up with ideas. You can stress the need to improve or function, or you can question. But without having a vote of this council directing the manager or another subordinate to act, there is no real direction. The manager carries it on in terms of what the laws are, what his responsibilities are, what his training and experience are. Now, that doesn't mean that a smart manager doesn't take input from council members, because he or she certainly should do that. And it goes on, that particular sentence goes on, and it's contrary to the spirit of this article for any members to seek individually, okay, again, individually, to influence the official acts of the manager or any other officer or to influence the official acts of municipal manager or any other officer, or for the council or any of its members to direct or request the appointment of any person to or his removal from any office, or to interfere in any way with the performance by such officers of their duties. Now, you could argue that it was improper for a council person to go down and sit down with the manager and say, hey, I think let's give an example here that doesn't bother anybody. The municipal attorney isn't doing his job correctly, okay? You could argue that that's improper. I don't happen to agree with that, okay? I believe that it's very important for individual council members to sit down with the manager. You can't order them. You can't direct them. But certainly having a dialogue is worthwhile, in my opinion, all right? I think the manager's door should be open to council members to sit down with them and to explore things. So to me, that's a two-way street. Manager's got to make himself available. I'm not suggesting Rich doesn't. Some managers in the past maybe haven't. But that's important. And I don't believe there's any violation of that particular statutory requirement, because as long as you're not ordering or insisting, if you're having a dialogue, that's what government is all about. The other thing is the next sentence, which the council and its members shall deal with the administrative service solely through the manager, and shall not give orders to any subordinates of the manager, either publicly or privately. So in other words, what that's saying is, look, if the road department is doing something you don't like, or you want them to do something, council members are supposed to go through the manager to get that accomplished. They're supposed to call up the manager and say, look, there's a pothole. We heard about potholes tonight. There's a pothole on a particular street. I think it would be helpful for you to get that taken care of. And that's part of good government, you know what I mean? Because in some ways, the council could be the eyes and ears of the manager in terms of problems that exist on the street and problems that need to be solved. So that kind of dialogue, I think, is very important.
Excuse me, Mr. Attorney.
Yes, sir. I'm done anyway, so.
Okay. If the council member calls the manager and says,
yep,
hey, there's a pothole on North,
yep,
whatever avenue, can we get that taken care of? Is that a request or is that a direction?
Depends. Like anything else.
I'd like to see this pothole get taken care of. Now, is that an individual council member asking the manager to do something or directing him to do something?
If you're bringing factual information to the attention of the manager, hey, there's a pothole on so-and-so street, Mr. Brown from that street complained about it. That's an factual information.
You're making a report.
Huh?
I think it would be appropriate.
Yeah, you're giving factual information.
If you said, I want that one done first.
Yeah, or the pothole in front of my house has got to be taken care of right now.
Yeah.
That's probably
going
to go to the manager. You know something? I'm not real concerned about the other council members may be upset about a particular council member doing that, because that doesn't just interfere with the manager. It interferes with the rights and responsibilities of the other council members, because those other council members may say, who's Councilman Jones to call up and say that he wants that pothole taken care of when somebody that I know has been complaining about this pothole for a month and a half? So, it's beyond just giving direction to the manager. It's interfering and it's showing a lack of respect to the other council members. So that would be the way I would look at that. So there you have it. Any questions? Anything else?
Thank you, Mr. Cushing.
Thank you.
That brings us to our recap. What we have on your list, Mr. Taylor?
We'll move forward with applying for the legal municipality for the governance award. The three motions made by Councilman Higgins will be addressed. We'll introduce the Recreation Commission ordinance at the first meeting in August, and I will get clarification on whether or not we can seek reimbursement as it relates to tax being accounted.
And with the governance awards, you're going to inquire as to whether the...
possibly for the...
if that's available. Okay. Council remarks. Mr. Boyer, you look like you're chomping at the bit.
Do I?
Yeah.
Right. I looked at that ordinance, and for impounding and what we're just talking about, it doesn't even have the word cat in there. So I'm going. You don't mention cats at all.
When did they start?
Do you know when they started licensing cash?
Well, I mean, there's about that, but all those fees associated and pounding, and it says everything has to do with dogs, so.
It's another thing we have to update, obviously.
Yeah. I actually have nothing else, Mayor, tonight. Appreciate that.
We should hear all that, so Janine can see the review and the,
I have nothing, just to be mindful of your neighbors, the temperatures as high as they are, just check for their elderly and young and make sure they're okay. Mr. Higgins.
Mr. Valentine. Mr. Torres.
I just have one thing I'd like to mention. And this is, I'm sharing with the whole council, not just with the manager, because it was brought to me as a complaint, and I looked closer at the problem. It seems that this was addressed by the council sometime last year, and what I'm referring to, obviously, is the condition of our municipal borough building, okay? And we have, I don't know if everybody is familiar with the outside of the building, but there's gutter problems, we have leaks in the wintertime, especially the one right in front of the front steps is a really big problem. It ices up because of that leak. So I don't know if it was introduced in last year's budget or if there's money in this year's budget, but I think that this building outside maintenance really needs to be looked at. I mean, this is, again, another reflection of our community, and it's, you know, something that should be, it's a cost-saving measure, too, because actually, the sooner you get these things addressed, then, you know, the better, you know, because later on the costs are going to, of course, increase or get worse. What I'm particularly talking about is the condition of the paint all around the building, the railings, the doors. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, you look at the whole, all the way around the soffits, all the way around the outside, we have some sort of decorative molding, and that's made out of wood, and it's all rotting away. I mean, it's really horrible. And you can actually see it when you drive down Belvedere Avenue. If you look up to, you know, you see the nice firehouse, and then you see our building, and you see, you know, all these cracks, and it looks like chipped paint. So, I mean, if I was Mike Stone, I'd be writing up a violation for the borough, maybe, because it's that, to me, that bad. So I'm just bringing it to the attention of council. I don't know if we want to do anything about it at some future time, or if we can, if it's in the budget, we can talk to the manager about it. But
you've addressed this to the manager?
No.
Oh.
I'm just right now, you know, reporting it to the council, and then seeing maybe what we should do. We should act as a body, according to Dick.
We looked at pricing last year. In lieu of painting it, we looked at pricing to replace the gutters and put vinyl along the top in lieu of repainting. This way it's up once and you never have to maintain it. And it was just under $20,000 for the work.
How much?
Just under $20,000. Remember, we had to pay prevailing wage.
Is that in the budget?
No.
For this year, it's not at all.
That would be like a capital, Rich?
Capital, I mean, would it be a capital improvement? Yes. Would I suggest borrowing money for it? No. I would just account for that in the 2012 budget, if that's something you want.
Mr. Byrd has mentioned something about the corner of the building, that he was going to do some work there.
Well, the problem is,
he wanted to, at least.
I don't know how old those gutters are, but where they have the seams for the gutter, the seams themselves are failing, and where the seams are located are right over the steps. You know, one of the seams in question.
That's a bad place.
So as the seam fails, the water drips right over the steps. The gutters have been cleaned three times since I've been here. You know, we've got a lot of trees, so they do go up there and they address the gutters. They also snake the drains that go onto the storm sewer. The other problem is that the gutters are starting to fail along the vertical surface of the building, and water's getting behind it. So in order to repair properly, you need to rip that off, and if you put vinyl up there, it'll last forever. But it's a big project, big expense. The only things that would have to be painted are the columns, because you can't wrap vinyl around that.
Okay, so we were
on the building
looking
itself.
At most of that next
the ones in the front, the two large ones.
But because of that's a safety issue, do you think that we could maybe get some sort of emergency funding, just do that one section maybe, at least to have that repaired? Because that's really the until next year's budget, and then we could approve, do the whole building, because that really has to get done.
Can't we just caulk it? Just, I mean, for
We can have, and I feel more comfortable waiting a little further along in the year to see where the finances are before I commit funds to that now, but what I would recommend is obviously prior to the winter, get up there and do something to that section. I mean, that can be done. The problem is not just the gutters themselves, the seams overflowing, it's also away from the building, physically away from the building.
Can we do that in-house with our guys?
We don't have a ladder to get that high. We'd have to either contact the fire department, because last time we used their the ladder truck.
Ladder truck.
To get up there, if it's something that can be done in-house. If not, we'll have someone do it. But it wasn't part of this year's budget, so I'd recommend waiting. I hate to spend the money now, this early in the year, not knowing what might come. Because clearly we have some...
Are we able to use funds from borough equipment that was just recently sold for that, or is that something that's totally different?
That just goes into miscellaneous revenue.
Okay.
It can't be spent this year.
Okay.
It just goes into the fund balance.
Yes, I think the only way we could do that is an emergency appropriation,
right,
which would come out of next year's budget anyway.
Okay.
I think I'm sorry.
Megan, you had something?
No,
there?
Go ahead, Mr. Finch.
I was going to say that I think that Manager Fallon's suggestion about the vinyl is a good approach. Actually, I think that's a good cost-effective way to do it. It'll look great. I mean, it's like putting vinyl siding on somebody's house.
You don't have to worry about it for 20 years.
Yeah, right. It's a good way to do it. So.
Mr. Higgins, you had something?
Yes, just to remind everybody, the 30th.
Yes.
9 to noon.
Ms. Flanger, do you want to send out the appropriate emails ahead of time?
As a reminder, yes.
Yes, please. I'm sorry, was that wrong? I gave her direction.
She's not managing.
She reports directly to you guys.
The board. Not only that, in an open session, it's almost impossible to violate the rules.
Okay. Everyone here.
Everyone's here.
Data is a good question. The municipal clerk is appointed by the mayor and council. Who are technically reporting them, or is it a...
You're in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Am I?
No, you're in deep trouble.
All right.
You report to them.
Careful what you wish for.
Take a letter.
Yeah, right.
And I have nothing. So if there's nothing else to come before the board, I accept the motion.
So moved.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?